श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वत देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चादेश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे एका भ्रिकुटिमाबध्य प्रेम संरंभ विह्वला घ्नति वैक्षत कटाक्षेपये संदष्ट दशनच्छदा श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी अब श्री गोपी जनों के द्वारा श्याम सुंदर के प्रति प्रेम सेवा का वर्णन कर रहे हैं। श्री गोपी जन किस प्रकार
नाउ श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द लविंग सेवा प्रेम सेवा ऑफ द गोपीज टुवर्ड्स श्याम सुंदर how the gopis are meeting Shyam Sundar, their different meetings with Krishna is bringing out their different bhavs. All this is being described. According to their different kinds of bhav, they are meeting Krishna. Now here, the foremost, in this particular shloka, the foremost gopi is being described. Of all the gopis, the foremost gopi is Sri Radha, who is the Radhini Shakti of the Supreme Lord. And it is because of this Shakti that the Supreme Lord is always in bliss, eternally in bliss, eternally in Anand. Now the Supreme Lord has three Swaroop Shaktis. In other words, He has got three potencies which are non-different from Him. Shastra mentions them, these potencies, as Hladini Shakti, Samvit Shakti, and Sandini Shakti. Now that potency by which Shri Krishna is eternally existing from the eternal past to the eternal future, because of which He is called Nitya or eternal, that Shakti is called the Sandini Shakti. And that potency by which He is all-knowing, Sarvajna, all-knowledgeable, that potency is called the Samvit Shakti. And that potency by which Krishna is eternally in bliss, so much of bliss that He can induce the entire universe into bliss, is called the Hladini Shakti. And Radharani is the very embodiment of the Hladini Shakti. All the rest of the gopis are all her dasis, including even Lakshmi, Saraswati, Durga, etc. Just like Krishna is the topmost in all ways, similarly Radharani is the topmost of all the Shaktis in all ways. Now here Srila Sukadeva Goswami is describing her.
Eka Bhrikutima Abhadya Prema Sarvambha Vihvala Gnati Vaikshat Kata Akshepai Sandhast Dasanat Chada Eka
Now Eka means one. One gopi. But Eka also has another meaning. It also means that there is no other gopi other than her. None other than her. Because there is none other than Radharani who is topmost in love for Krishna. Prema samrambha vihvala. What does this mean? This means that she had so much of anger. So much of anger was emanating out of her due to prem, due to love. This is called pranaya kop, or anger in love. Now prior to this, she was upset. But when she meets Krishna, she is filled with anger. So much that she was biting her lips, pressing her lips with her teeth. Gnanti iva. And with her looks, she was aiming, throwing arrows of glances at him, as though she was trying to kill him with those arrows. Actually, Krishna has given her so much of attention. He had given her so much of attention. And then he left her, and then he never came. Now, Radharani is of the Madhyata Bhav. Madhyata Bhav means Krishna is mine. She controls him. She controls Krishna and she keeps Krishna under her control like a das. So now when he has come, she is angry. She was hoping that he would come and console her. But she never came. He never came, sorry. Sukadev Goswami says that he comes and consoles all of the gopis. There is no special mention about any special consolation which he did with Radharani. Krishna consoled all of the gopis. He fanned them. He consoled them by fanning them, wiping their tears. He gave them betel nut to eat. He fed them water. And then he fed them juice with his own hands. And then with very sweet words explaining to them why he had left, saying that, "I was here only. I did not go anywhere. I was just nearby you all. Since so long I've been so desperate to hear your talk, how you talk, what you speak. And out of that greed to hear, I was hiding. I thought I will hide behind the bush and hear what you speak and see how you express your love for me. That is why I was hiding. Not that I went away with the mood of deserting you." In this way, he would speak sweet words and with each and every gopi, and in that way he consoled each and every gopi. So now Sukadev Goswami is not mentioning any special description of consolation with Radharani. So here Radharani is looking with twisted eyebrows, why? Frown look, as if to kill him with his looks. Her bhav is also being exhibited, that Krishna is behaving with her as well as all the other gopis, especially the rival gopi Chandravali's group, in the same way. And because of this, she is expressing her anger. Initial anger was because he deserted her and didn't come to console her. And later the anger is because he is behaving in the same way with each and every gopi. Now Harisuriji writes that Radharani is saying, "Hey Priyatam, in your absence, Kamadev or Cupid has striked me so much. I know that pain. Now you also experience that pain and see how painful it is." So she is sending the arrow of glance to pain him. Now what about her lips? Harisuriji comments, she's biting her own lips and telling her lips that, "Why did you not keep Krishna under your control?" So in this way, she's punishing her lips for not having kept him under control. Her lips were not capable of drinking Krishna's adharamrat. Adharamrat means nectar of Krishna's lips.
Koi gopi jo bhagwan ke charan kamal ko pakdi thi, apne astano par rakhi thi, saibya, to उस विषय में पद्मा ने कहा,
वन गोपी पद्मा हु वाज होल्डिंग कृष्णास फीट ऑन हर ब्रेस्ट, इट इज बीइंग सेड अबाउट हर दैट शी हैड नेवर केप्ट कृष्णास फीट ऑन हर ब्रेस्ट इन द पास्ट, बट टुडे शी इज सीइंग दैट कृष्णास फीट हैव ऑलरेडी पास्ड थ्रू सो मेनी स्टोन्स एंड थॉर्न्स एंड पेबल्स एंड harsh places all over the forest. So then definitely they can be kept on her breasts. In this way, thinking in this way, she kept his feet on her breast. The gopi who took betel nut from Krishna's mouth into her hands was thinking that Krishna's nature is like this betel nut. Initially when you eat, it does not have any taste. And the more you eat, as you eat more and more, the taste increases. So she took the betel nut from his mouth into her hands. This gopi also thought, Lord Shiva took the water that washed the feet of Lord Krishna on his head. So why not let me take the ras of his mouth into my mouth? And she also had another thought that she was thinking, Shastra says that one should take the remnants of the dvijas. Dvija means brahmanas, as maha maha prasad. So now here in Krishna's mouth there are 32 dvijas. Dvija also means teeth. Dvija means teeth because teeth are also twice born. They fall down and the new teeth comes. So they are also twice born. So teeth are also called dvija. So this gopi is saying, Shastra says that one should accept the remnants of the dvija, brahmanas, as maha maha prasad. Now here in Krishna's mouth there are 32 dvijas. So let me take the uchishta of these 32 dvijas. Now this gopi also thought of, she also had another bhav. She thought, I got udveg. Udveg means lalasa. I got udveg of meeting Krishna. So now let me see if the udveg, here the next second udveg means the nut in the betel leaf. Let me see if the udveg is properly chewed or not. She also had further more thoughts. Another very beautiful thought which came in her mind is, she thought, this flute thinks that in this world I am the only one who drinks the nectar of Krishna's lips. I am the only adhikari. So hey, betel nut, you have crushed the pride of this flute because you have taken the complete nectar of Krishna's adhar, much more than what the flute has ever got. So I take you in my hands. You are so worshipable to me. I bow down to you. I bow down myself to you. You have defeated the flute and you are worshipable to me. So let me take you in my hands. Thinking in this way, she takes the betel nut from Krishna's mouth into her hands. One gopi who took the feet on her breast thought, water from Lord Vishnu's feet, that is Ganga Devi, destroys Tritap. Tritap means all the threefold mysteries of this material world. If the water from Vishnu's feet can destroy the Tritap, so then these very feet, I will hold them on my breast. They will definitely remove my Tanutap. Tanutap means the tap of the body. She said, Tanutap is very insignificant in front of Tritap. So if Tritap can be removed or destroyed by the water which washes Krishna's feet, so why not his very feet would destroy the Tanutap of my body? Thinking in this way, she kept Krishna's feet on her breast. She also had another thought. She was thinking, in this world, topmost and most intelligent lady is Lakshmi Devi. What is there that this Lakshmi Devi, she gives up the place which is her seat is on the chest of the Lord. She gives up that place and she does not give up these feet. She comes and sits at the feet and she just remains at the feet. Definitely there is something in these feet. Definitely these feet have all the pleasures. So let me hold these feet upon my heart. Thinking in this way, she held her feet upon her heart. Now here in this particular shloka which we just recited, Radharani's mood is particularly being reflected. She has full adhikar on Krishna, and she is showing her anger. Her expression of anger is her expression of her adhikar on Krishna. Now in the next shloka, Radharani's Sakhi, Lalita, is being described. Now this gopi, she is the one who is the foremost in Radharani's group of sakhis. That is Lalita Sakhi. And she is of the Prakara type. Prakara means not gentle. She chastises Krishna anytime, anywhere, for any reason. And she even chastises Radharani. She looked at Krishna with unblinking eyes. This shloka is reflecting her bhav towards Krishna. When she saw Krishna, how did she behave? She was staring at him with unblinking eyes, with so much asakti, so much deep anurag. And she was fully drinking the sweetness of his face with her eyes. And still she was not satisfied. She continues to be staring with unblinking eyes. She is of the Vamya Bhav, like Radharani. And she also keeps Krishna under her control. This Sakhi is enjoying so much of bliss by drinking the sweetness of Krishna's lotus face. It is being compared like how the devotees of the Dasya Bhav, they are never satisfied with the lotus feet of the Lord. Just like the bees, they never abandon the lotus. Similarly, the devotees, they never abandon the lotus feet of the Lord. And these devotees never get satisfied by the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, the Sakhi is not getting satiated even after drinking the sweetness of the Lord to her full. King Prithu in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of King Prithu, he says to the Lord, he tells the Lord, "Oh my dear Lord, your feet are our property of we devotees. But Lakshmi stays there all the time instead of being on her chest. So definitely we will be fighting with her for your feet. But in case we fight with her, we are sure that whenever there would be a tussle with Lakshmi, you will definitely take our side because we are your Dinahina Bhakta of yours. And definitely you will not side by her. You will definitely take our side and you will tell her to go back to her place and take her place on the chest." This is how devotees feel towards Krishna's lotus feet. Now here Krishna's face is being described. His face is like a vessel of ras, patra of ras, rasa patra. His eyes, his cheeks, his looks, his eyebrows, the movement of his eyebrows, the movement of his eyes, his lips, his smile, everything is full of ras. All are on his face, and how his face is full of ras. It's a vessel of ras. Now this vessel of ras has to be drunk by the eyes. Now who drinks this? It is his prayasis which drink this rust to the most, to the highest degree. This vessel of rust is drunk especially by the prayasis. Prayasis means his beloved, his loved ones. Not that others don't relish, but the topmost relish is his by his prayasis. Others comparatively relish his feet more than his face. For the prayasis, all their shyness, all their chastity, all run far away just by simply looking at his feet. If you remember, in the previous chapter, these prayasis were telling Krishna at the forest, they were telling Krishna that just by seeing your earrings, by seeing your cheeks, your arms, and your broad chest, we have become your dasi. So you can see, they are expressing that just by seeing they have become Krishna's dasi. If Krishna would show himself to any devotee, no, that is a very big daan. Daan means charity or very big gift to that devotee. Now, if he would show his lotus body and smile and say something, and then he embraces that person with his beautiful arms, then this is the topmost daan, the topmost fortune, the topmost fortune for any living being. Now here the Sakhi is getting so much of pleasure drinking his lotus face that her eyes stopped blinking. Sukadeva Goswami is not saying that she was looking at his face. Sukadeva Goswami is saying that she was drinking his face. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, first chapter, he says, Pibata Bhagavata Rasamalayam. He says, to drink the Bhagavatam. He does not say, hear the Bhagavatam. He says, Pibata means drink the Bhagavatam. Who drinks? Only the bhavuks, the rasiks can drink the Bhagavatam. Just like only a healthy person can drink sweet juices. Now if there is someone on the road distributing free juices on the road, if a person is healthy, he can go and drink it, right? But if a person has sugar problem, that is diabetes, even if the juice is given free to him, he will not drink. Rather, he would think in his mind, oh, why did this person not distribute free medicine? So just like one has to be healthy to drink the sweet juices, similarly, those healthy in spiritual life, that is the bhavuks, the rasikas, they drink the Bhagavatam. But however, Bhagavatam has a very powerful position. Bhagavatam acts not only as a juice for the rasiks, but it also acts as a medicine for the diseased. So if one is not a rasik, and meaning if one is diseased, still he should drink the Bhagavatam. Sorry, he should read the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam will serve as a medicine for his disease. Now in this particular shloka, it is being said that this Sakhi, she is drinking his face, but still she is not feeling satiated. She is not satisfied. This is the bhakti ras. She was drinking the bhakti ras, the ras of the bhakti, which makes one never feel satisfied. Now in the next shloka, which is going to be described by Sukadeva Goswami, it is about the Sakhi Vishakha. Now this Gopi Vishakha, she looked at Shyam Sundar. She looked at him and absorbed every part of his body into her heart through the aperture of her eyes, placed him within her heart. And then she closed her eyes and she continuously embraced him within her heart. And in this way, she was deeply immersed in the ocean of ecstasy. So much of ecstasy that her bodily hairs were standing on end. This is called dhyan. Harisaruji says that this gopi had faced viraha dukkha and now she is facing samagam sukha. Samagam sukha means pleasure of union. So she is keeping her eyes closed, saying, now I have trapped you within my heart. Now I will not open my eyes and let you escape. So she is keeping her eyes closed. She's keeping the door closed so that Krishna cannot escape. And let him be, and she should remain trapped within her heart. In this way, she looked like a yogi. She appeared or resembled a yogi meditating upon the Lord. But however, in terms of ecstasy, she was experiencing million times more happiness than any yogi would experience. So much of ecstasy, her bodily hairs were standing on end. Sukadeva Goswami's final instructions to Maharaj Parikshit is also to keep Krishna within the heart and not to worry of Takshaka. So in this way, we should also learn to keep Krishna within our hearts. Another gopi, Bhadra, she is not being mentioned in this particular Bhagavatam, but she is being mentioned in Padma Puran, that as soon as she saw Krishna, she started crying out of happiness, "Krishna! Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!" And she started running towards him, just only one word coming out of him, out of her mouth, "Krishna! Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!" So sweetly, those sweet names were coming out of her mouth. We should always have these sweet names lingering in our mouth too, by constantly chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare."
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Bhadra was crying out like this, crying out of happiness and pleasure and pulak all over our body. We should also chant, Now, Sukadeva Goswami will describe about the rest of the gopis, all of them, in the next shloka.
Santa Keshava Loka Paramotsava Nirvritaha Jahur Virahajam Tapam Pragyam Prapya Jatha Janaha.
Taha Sarvaha means the rest of all the gopis. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is concluding his description of the gopis milan by saying Taha Sarvahar, all the gopis who are present, the number of the millions of gopis that were present there, about all of them. He's saying Paramotsava. Paramotsava means the Param Utsava, the biggest festival. Now the biggest festival for the gopis, for all the gopis, is just seeing Krishna. It was the biggest festival. And Keshava Loka means seeing Krishna. Seeing Krishna is the biggest festival. But Keshava Loka also has another meaning. Keshava Loka also means that person whose kesh means hair, is so beautiful and effulgent. Keshava Loka also means one who keeps Brahma and Shiva and such controllers under his control. Now, seeing such a beloved, they were filled with happiness and all their distress came to an end. And Sukadeva Goswami is giving a comparison of their happiness, that just like people, general people, forget their miseries when they gain the association of a spiritually enlightened person. Similarly, the gopis forgot their misery, their distress of separation vanished just by the very sight of Lord Shri Krishna, which was Paramotsav, their biggest festival. Now, essence of all this is that we all should come in contact with Krishna by seeing him, thinking of him, chanting his names, glorifying him, meditating on him, kirtanam, shravanam, dhyanam, in whatever ways. We should always come in contact with Krishna, and then all our distresses will get destroyed and we will be filled with Paramotsav, the greatest festival, the greatest bliss. All the gopis were happy One was happy by seeing, looking at Krishna with unblinking eyes. Another was happy by embracing him within his heart. Another was happy by holding his hands in her hands. Another was happy by just by holding his taking the betel nut into her hands. Another was happy by holding her feet on her breast. Another was happy by embracing him in various ways. Basically, every gopi was happy. It means we should always be, somehow or the other, we should be in contact with Krishna and be in bliss. Just like now the Supreme Purush, Lord Vishnu, he looks beautiful when he's surrounded by all his potencies. He's got many potencies, like the Bhu potency, the Shri potency. So when he's surrounded by them, he looks more beautiful than when he is just lying on the bed of Sheshnag. So similarly, Krishna was looking too much beautiful when he was surrounded by the gopis. As such, Krishna looks beautiful, but he's most beautiful when he's surrounded by the gopis than when he's surrounded by the gopas or by the cows or by the peacocks or by the trees or by the forest or by any other living entity. His beauty is enhanced the most, to the fullest degree, when he is with the gopis. Why? Because the gopis' prem is the fullest, and therefore he looks beautiful to the fullest. So now in this way, Krishna held the gopis' hands and took them for the Ras Vihar. Now the topmost fortune of all the gopis is Priyatama Shyamasundar's entire body embrace, dancing with him, singing with him, and performing various kinds of leelas with him. Now in Rasa Leela, so many other leelas are also there within the Rasa Leela. During Rasa Leela, they also have the leela of playing holi, they play swing pastimes, they have the pastime of drinking of the nectar, and they have pastime of Shringar pastime is there. Then there is the water pastime. So many pastimes are there. So out of all his Nitya Leelas, the Rasa Leela is the crest jewel, the Mukutamani, because within this all other Leelas are there. Now, in order to give this greatest fortune, the Lord took all the gopis personally by his hands. He took them to the banks of Yamuna. And this Sukadeva Goswami is explaining in the next shloka. We should note one thing, that Krishna is Bhagavan, which one who is full in all beauty, all the six Ashada Aishwarya Purna. So out of which one of the Aishwarya is beauty. He is full in beauty. So when that particular Lord who is full in his beauty, still that beauty is enhanced even more further when he is encircled by the gopis. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami uses the word vyarochata adhikam. Adhikam, beautiful, he was looking more. And now he takes them to the banks of Yamuna. So now Krishna is taking the gopis to that bank of Yamuna. Which bank? That bank which was personally decorated by Yamunaji herself, by the waves of her, of Yamunaji, is like her hands. And she was so happy that now the Rasa Leela is going to happen, and she was happy that to get the place ready. So she personally came, manifested herself, and she personally decorated the banks. And she was happy that now after the Rasa Leela they would get tired and they will enter into her waters. The way she decorated the banks, there was not even the smallest piece of pebble. And there was no place which was hard. The sand was so soft. And the sand was radiating like the moon. So effulgent. And in this, he became Vibhu. Vibhu, the word Vibhu is mentioned in the shloka here. Taha samadaya kalindya nirvishya pulinam Vibhu. Vibhu means Krishna became many. As many gopis were there, that many Krishnas were there. There were millions of gopis, so there were millions of Krishnas, each Krishna with each particular gopi. So he was individually present with each and every gopi, keeping his hands on their shoulders. He was taking them to that bank, which were personally decorated by Yamunaji herself. And Sukadeva Goswami is describing the environment here. Sharat Chandramsu Sandoha Dvashta Dosha Tamaha Shivam Krishnaya Hasta Tarala Chitta Komala Valukam. Before that he says, Vikasat Kunda Mandara Surabhi Anila Satpadam. How beautiful the place was. He's describing that there was not even a smallest piece of pebble. The sand was so soft and it was radiating like the moon. And it was night, and though it was night, the lotuses were blooming. Lotuses bloom only during daytime. But although it was night, the lotuses were blooming. And the place was filled with fragrance of the Kunda flowers and the Mandara flowers. And there were so many bees buzzing. And there was such a cooling breeze. And all this created such a wonderful environment for the Rasalila. And the place was lit by a lamp. Which was the lamp? The lamp was that very transcendental moon, which completely removed the darkness of the night. In this way, the Kalindi bank, river of Yamuna, was very auspicious. Shivam, the word mentioned Shivam, it became very auspicious. So, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes the scene here as translation by Srila Prabhupada, as given by Srila Prabhupada's translation. The Almighty Lord then took the gopis with him to the bank of the Kalindi, who with the waves, with her own waves, with the hands of her waves, had scattered piles of soft sand upon the shore. In that auspicious place, the breeze, bearing the fragrance of blooming Kunda and Mandara flowers, attracted many bees. And the abundant rays of the autumn moon dispelled the darkness of the night. Now when Krishna was walking with each and every gopi, individually he was there with each gopi. Not that the gopis were all seeing so many Krishnas walking with him. They could see only one Krishna walking next to themselves. Every gopi would feel that Krishna is walking with me and not with the others. In this way he took them. Now when they went there, when they reached the bank, the gopis, they wanted to make Krishna sit, because it was so late in the night, and all night he was walking around, roaming around all around the forest. His feet would have been tired, and after that when he came, he was taking care of them, he was consoling them, wiping their tears and feeding, making them drink water and juices. All this he was doing, standing all the while. So they all the millions of gopis, all at once, at the same time, they all felt that they wanted to make Krishna sit. Now, how to make him sit? Because there was no chairs or no arrangements or no asans put there for sitting. So they all took out their shawls to seat him. Now the gopis, they spread out their shawls for Krishna to sit. And now, you know, if they spread out the shawl for Krishna to sit, it doesn't mean that they were without shawls on their bodies. But as soon as they took out their shawls for Krishna to sit, instantly Yogamaya arranged for new shawls to cover the gopis' bodies. So everything is arranged there by Yogamaya so beautifully that even before the thought is there, things are arranged. So here, now actually these shawls, if you look at it, if you look deeply, these shawls were smeared with the kesar and the kumkum from their breasts. These shawls had tears which had fallen from their eyes. It had the kajal which they had wiped their eyes when they were crying. They wiped their eyes and all the kajal from their eyes had come onto these shawls. And even when they were crying, the foam which was coming out of their mouth, even that was there on these shawls. Now generally one would never offer Krishna such a used item, isn't it? Full of foam from the mouth and tears and kajal and all these things, sweat, everything. But here the gopis, they have prem for Krishna. They were not into the Aishwarya Bhav. They were not overcome by the mood of Krishna as Bhagavan, but they were always overcome by the mood of Krishna as their lovers. So with such a love, prem, they offered their own shawls, and Krishna actually liked to be seated on those shawls more than any other new shawl which would be offered. Now that is expressed in the next shloka by Sukadeva Goswami about Krishna's reciprocation to these shawls.
भगवान सईश्वर जोगेश्वरांतर हृदय कल्पितासन चकास गोपी परिषद गतोर्चिता त्रैलोक्य लक्ष्मीक पदम वपुर दधत.
Now Sukadeva Goswami is explaining about how Krishna accepted those seat made out of the shawls of the gopis. He's explaining that great masters like Lord Shiva, they arrange seat for Krishna within their hearts. Now here Sukadeva Goswami is not saying whether Krishna sits on that asana or not, but he's saying that that Krishna for whom these great masters of mystic meditation like Lord Shiva etc. arrange a seat within their hearts, such a Lord Sri Krishna, he took his seat in the assembly of the gopis on their shawls. That Krishna is now seated on the asana made of the gopis' shawls, which were used by the gopis. And he had so much pleasure in accepting this asana. And he was surrounded by gopis on all sides. Now he sat in the center and there were circles and circles and circles of gopis around him. So many millions of gopis sitting in circles around him. Now each and every gopi felt that she was sitting right in front of him, in the front lane, right next to him, face to face in front of him. Not even one gopi felt that she was sitting on the back side or she was facing the backside of Krishna, because all the gopis are sitting in circles, so there could be some who are sitting on the backs, facing the back of Krishna, but not one gopi felt that she was sitting at the facing the back of Krishna, or not one gopi felt that she was sitting away from Krishna or far away from Krishna. Every gopi felt that she was sitting right in front of him, and Krishna was just looking at her face to face, eye to eye. Now this is the beauty and this is the greatness of Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami says that he was shining so brilliantly among the gopis. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for whom the great masters of mystic meditation arrange a seat within their hearts, took his seat in the assembly of gopis. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped him. In all the three worlds, in the entire three world, in the entire Vaikuntha, in the entire material and spiritual world, what could be the highest limit of beauty? This beauty today, which Krishna is exhibiting when he's circled by the gopis, is million times more than the topmost of beauty that can be seen in the entire of Vaikuntha or the entire material and spiritual world. He was looking so beautiful, so beautiful. So we are placing Krishna right here within the midst of all the gopis and concluding the katha. This is a Nitya Leela. And there has, and they were eternally engaged in sweet talks, loving talks, teasing each other, making fun of each other. And in this way, they enjoyed the entire night. Lots of thanks to all of you Vaishnavas for coming to hear this katha. And lots of thanks to all of you Vaishnavas for giving me this opportunity to glorify the Lord and for hearing the katha in a humble attitude. Now we will do the aarti. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Jai Radhe Shyam Rasalila ki jai, Sab gopiyon ki jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.